So we've spoken to Ben Freeman on a number of occasions. He is an author. He's a Jewish rights activist. He has also just made Aliyah to Israel. His timing was impeccably awful, but I do follow him on social media. And it's not often that you see somebody with a smile as big as that landing in Ben Gurion Airport. This despite the fact that Iranian missiles, I think, and he'll tell us in just a moment or two, were about to commence being shot at Israel within a couple of hours, actually. Ben Freeman, mazel tov on your aliyah to Israel.
Thank you so much. It's great to talk to you again.
So, Ben, truly, the pictures of you on social media, pushing your trolley out into the arrivals hall, a massive smile on your face, in the middle of a war. What were you thinking?
You know, it's funny because obviously whenever I've told anyone that I've just made Aliyah, everyone says, wow, what terrible timing. But even though the war, you know, that very brief war had commenced by the time I arrived, I think that Ben Gurion was shot just after my sister-in-law and I left. I was still just incredibly excited. You know, obviously I knew what was happening and I knew that it was dangerous and it was unjust. But my kind of overwhelming emotion was just to feel so happy to be in Israel. Because it was a process that has taken me over a year. You know, I started my Aliyah process, the application, in May of last year. So it felt not just like a homecoming, but also just a sense of relief. Okay, I'm actually here. And also to be able to share in the experience. It's quite a strange thing to advocate so much for Israel and the Jewish people from abroad and to not experience this kind of fundamental, you know, unfortunately fundamental part of the Israeli experience. So it did feel like I was sharing in what millions of Jews had been experiencing every, you know, so often for years at this point. But yeah, no, I mean, it was certainly extraordinary to step off the plane, switch on my Wi-Fi, and then see the red alert, see the news. When I was in the Aliyah office, so when you make Aliyah at Ben Gurion, someone meets you and they give you forms and you do the administrative side, and on the news was the war that had already started in the north. So that was quite extraordinary, I'd have to say.
I'm not sure to what extent the issue of the lack of safety played any part in your decision to leave the UK. I mean, even if it was a minuscule portion, it has to have been there. And I'm just wondering how one deals with like the cognitive dissonance of leaving the UK because of a safety concern, not only, but partially. And then you arrive in a war zone. I mean, how does your brain kind of synthesize that?
Yes, I mean, I did message a friend and say it's strange that I've emigrated to an active war zone, which was a bit odd. But, you know, it's, I think I said on Twitter or Instagram, you know, come, or on that, it was the caption of that video, it's come rain or shine, come war or peace. You know, I think there's the practical element of like, unfortunately, Israel has been involved in wars throughout its history. So the question of whether there is a good time to make Aliyah, inverted commas, I'm not sure. That's kind of maybe more challenging from a logistic perspective. But also, you know, I want to obviously be respectful to the Israeli experience, because even though I'm technically now an Israeli citizen, my journey towards becoming an Israeli has just begun. But I do think there's something really powerful about being a free man in your land and not being a second-class citizen in the diaspora. And that is how many Jews in the diaspora are beginning to feel, that, you know, Jews are hiding their Jewishness. They're having conversations about the future of Jewish life in the diaspora, which is not something they had or they thought that they would have again. You know, I was born at the tail end of this post-Holocaust period where things were much more calm and stable, and Jew hatred, while there, was much less overt. And I think many people, even those of us who write and talk about this for a living, are shocked at what's happened and how quickly the West particularly has descended into Jew hatred. But I think for me, I don't feel like I should fight to stay in the UK. You know, I am British. I have a British passport. I have a right to be there. And the fact that I felt not just unsafe, but also uncomfortable is a damning indictment on the UK and in the West in general, because it's not just people from Britain who are feeling this way. Australia, South Africa, Canada, America, Europe, of course, South America. So While, yes, there is obviously danger in coming to Israel, it's different. I said to my sister, I was out with my sister and my niece, and I said, it's really strange here because being Jewish is special at home, right? Like when I saw a Jew in the street, we would kind of say hi to each other. We'd notice each other's Magen David necklaces, perhaps. Whereas here, most people are Jewish, so it's not special. It's the thing that makes me special seems to be my Scottishness. But there's something also extraordinary in that, right? That like we're in a land with our people.
I hear you 100%, and I've had personal experience of what it is you are explaining. I actually really only became a South African in Israel, I think, ironically enough, having been a Jew in South Africa most of my life. But I, just like you, went back to a war zone back in the 80s. It was Saddam Hussein at the time firing missiles at Israel. And very much like you, I kind of felt this is actually an opportunity to experience the full experience, to turn around to Israelis and say, I was there with you when you were in the Miklatim or the Mamadim or wherever it was that you were. You don't get to pick when the good times are and the bad times are. You have to
Absolutely.
embrace the whole experience. So just talk me through the last 2 days. I mean, it must be. What did you do? Are you in an apartment that does have a bomb shelter? Did somebody tell you what you needed to do, how to manage it? And then just waking up thinking, okay, I'm going downstairs to have breakfast in Israel. Just talk me through how this all feels.
Yeah, it feels really extraordinary, but also at the same time, very regular. Because also, I've spent so much time here and I do feel very comfortable here in a way that I actually don't think I ever feel in the UK. I've
Really?
enjoyed living in the UK, I enjoyed Glasgow, I enjoyed London, but I don't think I ever fully felt at home. Whereas here, even though again, I'm aware of the cultural differences and the differences in experience, I do feel at home. And it's extraordinary. I went to Aroma earlier, which is very basic, but very good. And it's amazing to see signs for coffee in Hebrew, which is the indigenous language of the Jewish people. And it's an ancient Canaanite dialect, the only ancient Canaanite dialect that's still spoken. So from a logistic perspective, I stayed at my, I have an apartment. It does not have a, I don't have a mamad. It does not have a shelter, but the shelter is 1 minute round the corner. But on the night that I arrived, I stayed at my brother and my sister-in-law's home because they had a mamad. And yeah, like it was kind of extraordinary the first time to be woken up to be like the, my sister-in-law said Ben Bo, like Ben come, and we went into the Mamad. But also it you realize that it's extraordinary watching Israelis who are incredibly resilient, and they have to be resilient, right? We wish that they didn't have to be. We wish that Jews in general didn't have to be so resilient, but there is something still in the resilience and the fact that my nephews, they were in the bomb shelter and then they just got up and started playing when the all clear was given. And that is amazing. And then, so I experienced that. And then I did the kind of rite of passage and went to IKEA, which was productive and very expensive. And I
Really?
tried to build my bed. Yeah, I tried to build my bed this afternoon and failed miserably. And now my sister and my niece are at my apartment. So yeah, like it's kind of, I'm hitting the ground running. I've got a meeting after this tonight. I've got a meeting in person tomorrow at Honest Reporting, whom I write part-time for. So it's, I'm trying to acclimate as quickly as possible, kit out my apartment. I just bought, dish soap because I want to feel like I have the things that I need. Because that's part of it, right? When you're traveling, you don't, it's, you have to get used to the amenities. So yeah, it's very, I'm trying to take it all in my stride. I feel very happy and very excited to be here. To spend time with my family is obviously amazing. And yeah, just to soak up the environment. I mean, it's Pride this weekend, so that'll be another amazing thing to experience, and also an amazing thing to arrive just in time for. And then yeah, it'll be the summer, I'll be beaching, and I'll be starting my PhD. So I'm lucky because I've had a very soft landing. My family are here, my work is continuing. It's not like this for everyone, but I'm very
Well,
privileged.
that's one of the questions I wanted to ask you, because I like you am language. That is my being, and perhaps not to the extent that yours is. I mean, you're an author. You are words. And to operate in an environment of a different language, as good as my Hebrew was, it was just never, never a jot of what my English was. And I'm wondering to what extent, that doesn't actually take away from the fullness of being a whole person.
I think it's a really good point. I think that I will always express myself better in English. No matter how fluent I become in Hebrew, I will always write in English. My PhD is going to be in English. You know, I speak to my family in English, obviously. Although my nieces and my nephews I speak to in Hebrew, but it's kind of perfect speaking to them because while their Hebrew is a lot better than mine, they're children.
Yes.
So it's a more, slightly more even playing field than if I'm speaking to an adult who's fluent. But yeah, you know, it's... But I think learning the language is so supremely important. I think that people have said that is, you know, beyond everything else, that is the thing which would set you apart if you moved here, if you made Aliyah and did not learn Hebrew. And there are some people who do that. But I think also, you know, it's you've got to be respectful. While this is the Jewish state and sits on Eretz Yisrael, the indigenous land of the Jews, Israel is a country of its own. It has a culture of its own. And even though we get a right of return, we still have to be respectful when we come, just as you would try to in any other place, right? Like, I've not come here as an expat. I've come here to make my life. So learning the language is really important. And actually, I think that all Jews should be proficient in Hebrew, because there's no way to engage with Jewish civilization through its original source if you're not being able to at least read and understand Hebrew.
I couldn't agree with you more. I just wish they wouldn't have taken the vowels out. And I mean, it's just an amusing story. You were talking about buying dishwashing liquid. I mean, nobody understands the extent to which that is actually challenging. Because you go to an Israeli supermarket and you're confronted with a shelf full of various products, and you've got to go pick in Hebrew which is the right one. And it's damn difficult.
Yeah, and it requires you to know, like, the word for soap is savon, I think. But I think you have to then know the rest of the word. So I actually didn't buy dish soap when I went to Supersol. I went with my sister to another supermarket, and then we bought dish soap because I couldn't understand. So yeah, like, but it's part of the experience. You know, I lived 100%. In Hong Kong, and going to a supermarket there is exciting. It's like when you go to a supermarket abroad, you see all of the products. And but Israel has changed so much in the last 10 years and 20 years. So all of the products, a lot of them are familiar. Like, I bought a lot of the, recognizable products, and I would buy at home in the UK.
I think you'll also notice, I certainly did with myself, that when one learns Hebrew and becomes proficient in Hebrew, because it's so much shorter, direct, and to the point, it isn't sort of flowery to the same extent that English is. Your body language actually changes as well. You actually become a different person when you speak Hebrew. It's pretty phenomenal the extent to which that does have an effect on one and who one is. So I think what you're saying is absolutely spot on. So Ben, you've just landed. You're 3 days in. Thank you so much for having made the time to talk to us. We are going to check in on you. You need to tell us when your new books are coming out and what you're up to. We're going to keep tabs on your Aliyah story. Thank you for talking to us on Chai FM.